everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mensaber, and joining me on the sofa today is Karen Wisdom, the social media goddess and founder of Wisdom Marketing and Research. Hi, Karen. Thanks for joining me on the sofa. How are you today?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, stopping by. Now, let's hear a bit about the brand called Karen Wisdom. She spent many years working in marketing and research environments at organizations such as Mori and ITV. She's been fortunate enough to have been involved in a wide range of projects such as advertising, branding, corporate reputation, and social responsibility. Karen also recognizes that happy, engaged employees have a crucial role to play in creating successful organizations. Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. Welcome, listeners, and thanks for tuning in. So, Karen Wisdom, yes, that's the name and a half. I like that name. A decade or so in TV appears very glamorous. So could you let us know what led you there?
Yes. I originally wanted to work in advertising, but I was persuaded by the careers advisors in education to follow a different career path, which they thought would be safer and more secure, in financial services, which didn't particularly set my world alight, but I found out more about it and decided that perhaps I could be suited to that. Quite different from the one that my heart told me I should be following. So I went to work for a big bank in London and discovered very quickly, once the initial excitement had worn off, that actually that wasn't really the right kind of career for me, and I couldn't really see a future in it. So I was looking around for a viable alternative, and I saw an advert for a marketing researcher working in ITV, which looked very glamorous, so I applied for it, found out more about it, was lucky enough to be appointed, and entered a completely different world, and I never really looked back after that. The door was opened and I rushed through it.
Yes, from financial services to TV, I know what I'd choose, but I have to stay neutral here. So, Karen, you know, the job of a marketing researcher is never really done because the results can change overnight. How do you manage such changing outcomes, and how do you keep a cool head?
Yes, that's interesting. I'd never really thought of myself as a researcher, more as a storyteller and finder of solutions, always focused on the strategic outcome of a project rather than the actual data or collecting the data itself. Although, of course, design and analytics are very important in research. Regarding changing outcomes, I guess you need to be quite resilient, quite agile mentally, remain calm under pressure, be able to adapt to change and refocus according to how things develop. All these, of course, are useful skills for running your own business, but I didn't know that I was going to be doing that then.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. So from ITV and then to another household name, Mori, an organisation that, you know, could be described by many as the gold standard in research. What's been your experience in working with these large organisations?
I'm quite fortunate to have had the opportunity to work with a couple of very large corporate organisations, and it taught me a lot about working in the business world, understanding how professionally run organisations work, about structures and processes, different work cultures. Probably more importantly, I learned how to manage and how to motivate people.
Okay.
And also how not to, from observing the behaviours of some others. But I won't go into that now. I think ITV was a really work hard, play hard type of culture.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It suited my life stage quite well at the time. And I was very lucky there to have a mentor, somewhat unwitting mentor, who's a sales guy who gave me the opportunity to go out with him to present to clients and start to undertake public speaking roles. So he encouraged me hugely, and I'm very grateful to him.
Well, they do say that public speaking is one of the biggest fears that people have. So if you can conquer that, then you can conquer anything. You know, people fear that more than, you know, very bad illness. So it's great that somebody actually took you, looked after you and made sure that you were pushed in front of people to present publicly. So thank you to him, whoever he is. So the social media goddess, Karen. At least that's how your personal brand is expressed. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm delighted if that's how my brand is coming across. Certainly I've worked hard to build my reputation in this area. Social media, of course, is a part. It's always a part of a wider marketing strategy. It can't work in splendid isolation.
Mm.
So however important it is, and it is recommended for most businesses nowadays, assuming that that's where their audiences are hanging out, but it does need to be properly integrated and part of a marketing strategy and a plan that people review regularly.
Okay. So you also support companies with a variety of marketing activities. What are they?
Well, as well as social media, where I train people on how to use it effectively, depending on which networks they're wanting to use, and also managing their activity for them if they're too busy to do it or they don't want to get involved. I also work with other businesses to draft marketing strategies, tactical delivery plans.
Mm.
So they would have a live working document at the end of that, which works as an ongoing prompt to action, something that they can review and update regularly. And also to look at the return on investment that they're getting, getting more, the cliche is bang for your buck in those areas, but just to make sure that they're spending their money wisely and on things that are going to give them a return and adapt. Also, nowadays, I do a lot of writing content. People started coming to me asking if I could write them blogs or articles, getting them placed into publications or online journals, copy for websites. I've just rewritten a couple of website texts for people who...
Website copy can be really, really difficult to manage.
Yeah, and typically... Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing.
Typically, I think people who are quite technical struggle with this sort of thing. And lots of people are very good at running their business, but they're not necessarily very good at expressing succinctly the benefits that they bring to people and tapping into what you might call people's need states in order to engage them. So I do lots of writing copy, writing newsletters or email newsletters, e-shots, and pretty much any other promotional materials that people use, both online and offline.
Okay, that's great. Seems like you do a lot. Now, this is a question that I ask everybody that comes on the sofa, Karen. Imagine that you're sitting in front of a careers officer as a 16-year-old school leaver. Looking back, what would you have said you wanted to be back in the day?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I always wanted to work in advertising. Since I was 13, I did a project at school that was set for us around the seven deadly sins and looking at advertising and finding examples of how different campaigns had been themed around the seven deadly sins and how well they'd worked.
Mm.
So I didn't know it then, but I was quite interested in the psychology of what makes people tick, what makes them buy certain brands or go to work for a certain organisation, and I still am. Mm. So I think, had I been better advised, I might have been channeled into studying some sort of psychology degree instead of being pushed into financial services. But you think they know best, don't you, at the time?
Well, I think there's something to be said about careers officers and, you know, just ticking a box. I've had many a guest say that they were advised differently in terms of what they wanted to do and what they've ended up doing. It's always been very different. So I wonder if our children will also suffer the same fate. Hopefully not.
But I think it helps if people have got practical experience in the workplace in order to deliver the advice that they're their giving. I just assumed that because they all were somehow more worldly than I, that they knew what they were talking about. So I took a lot of notice, but perhaps with the hindsight that I now have, I might not have listened. I might have pursued my heart
and gone more into advertising. But there we go. This is Tea with Lily, and joining me on the sofa today is Karen Wisdom, the social media goddess and founder of Wisdom Marketing and Research. Karen helps businesses to make their marketing and social media activity more effective. Now, Karen, let's talk about social media specifically. This thing called social media has taken over our lives, and I, for one, get slightly overwhelmed with a deluge of stuff out there. How do you keep on top of your social media?
Well, I try not to to get too distracted, I suppose, is the essence of it. I manage a different number of social media accounts on behalf of busy clients. So that requires a lot of forward planning, very good time management skills. So if you go onto Facebook or Twitter or whatever, making sure that you only do what you went in to do and not get distracted
by people's... It's so difficult, though.
People's wedding photographs, photographs of their nights out, and all sorts of click-through links that you can follow. So I try not to get too distracted with that. Obviously, I need to, because of what I do, I need to immerse myself in my client's business and get completely up to speed on their brand, their values, what they're trying to promote, and what their marketing priorities are. So I can act effectively and speak as the voice of their brand. One thing that does help, here's a tip, Hootsuite,
yes.
Hootsuite. Mm-hmm. It's a social media management tool, and it's free. There's a basic version that's free. You can pay for an upgraded professional version, which I actually do use, but even that's only $6 a month. So that enables you to schedule social media activity across different social networks and to plan things in advance. So I would warn against replicating activity across every network,
because different audiences want different things, you know.
For instance, yes, they do. You don't want to bore people by just posting the same thing on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram.
Okay, that's good. Hootsuite, you will schedule your online activity but slightly differently for different, whether it's Facebook, Twitter or LinkedIn. Okay.
Yes, you will. And it lets you edit tweets and to schedule things to go out in the middle of the night if your target audience happens to be in China or wherever.
Indeed. So, okay.
Very useful.
So you're one of a small number of tutors in the UK to teach the first professional qualification in social media. It's a BTEC approved level 3 course. How did this come about, and how can our listeners, or how can I, get a qualification like this, preferably delivered by you?
Oh, yes. Well, it's fantastic that you can study this now as a discipline. I was approached by the head of an organisation called Digital Marketing Mentor, who have a website online. That's digitalmarketingmentor.co.uk. And they thought that it was because I had practical front-end experience, I would be a good person to tutor this BTEC course in social media, as opposed to somebody who perhaps just spent all of their time submerged in academia with no practical experience to match it. So I tutor this course according to demand. It's a 6-7 week course, which can be taught either one-to-one or in workshops and classroom format. And there is some funding available. The last time I looked, it was available for people on job seekers allowance, because they'd set up a deal with the Department for Work and Pensions to get people onto that and off of the job seeker lists. So the people that I've tutored have found it very useful. It's an additional qualification. For some of them, it's just something for their CV that they can use to apply for jobs. Other people have decided to follow digital marketing careers.
Okay.
And again, because it's social media, it's presented in the context of digital marketing. So it comes with a much wider brief.
So what sort of job would you get once you... Well, if you had a few other qualifications, including that, what sort of jobs would somebody with this particular qualification get or apply for?
Potentially, it could open doors for jobs in marketing departments, marketing assistants, executives, those sorts of things.
Okay.
It would be useful for anybody already working in that role who didn't particularly have that as a discipline.
Mm.
Also, pipelines into digital media.
Okay.
Not necessarily, it's not technical, so it's not about web design or anything like that. It's purely focused on social media within the wider marketing context. And obviously social media type of jobs as well.
Great. So it's digitalmarketingmentor.co.uk. Right, so with over 15 years as a marketing researcher, the online activity could be seen as an obvious extension to your offering. From that standpoint, could you please share with us the three main challenges businesses face in terms of managing their social media, and how can they minimise or get over those challenges?
Yes, so that's a good question, Lily. I guess the first challenge would be to recognise if and when you need help.
Yeah.
I see so many businesses struggling with their marketing or with their social media, carrying on without really knowing what they're doing, parting company with money in return for marketing activities which may or may not bring them any particular benefit. So I think that increasingly people are waking up and realising that they have to get their heads around it. But that doesn't mean to say they have to do it themselves. They can get help in. There are a few people who've still got their heads in the sand.
Oh, yes, I've seen them and they're scary.
Thinking that it's just a fad and it will go away. They keep their head in the sand long enough.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. It will perhaps morph from certain types of networks into others. But certainly it's something to wake up and listen to. The second area I would say is where businesses are not disciplined enough to manage their activity on social media effectively, or not to integrate it with the wider marketing. So there are some businesses that think that they can set up a Facebook account, start putting out posts, and then a rush of people will flood to their door. But you've got to let people know that you're on Facebook. You've got to make it easy for them to find you.
Yes.
People generally don't go onto Facebook and look for your brand.
For your product.
You need to be very proactive in leading them to it. And on its own, it won't do very much. Mm. So it's got to be part of a wider strategy.
Yeah.
There are also people who don't know what to tweet about, what to post about, what to blog about. So those are the kind of areas where I tend to get involved and to help them engage with relevant audiences. Probably the third area is not measuring the return on investment. So people are throwing money at marketing activities without thinking about the return that they're getting.
Mm.
And with social media, it's quite difficult because it's not about selling, it's about raising awareness and engaging with people and leading them to your place of business. Or your website or your blog or whatever it is that you might want them to go to. Mm-hmm. Once they get there, the responsibility for converting that into a sale is yours. So if they enter your restaurant and receive poor service, or if they go to their website and don't like what they see, then that's beyond the control of any social media person. So it's important to have all your ducks lined up, if you like, from a marketing point of view. So if you're going to send people to your website, make sure your website is good and engaging and does the job. And if they're clicking on the website expecting to see something specific, make sure that it's well signposted that they can go to.
Mm, mm.
But I think with measuring social media, it's also about making sure that you've got, it's not just about how many followers you've got. I hear lots of people say, oh, I've got 10,000 followers on Twitter. No. I've got, 500 likes on my Facebook page. That on its own is not enough. You need to be engaging them. And so you need to be looking at qualitative measures like how many retweets you've got, how many shares you've got, how many comments, people reposting and sharing things, which obviously leads to the viral nature of what you're trying to achieve, broadening your reach and really drawing people in, participating in the conversation online.
Yes.
So likes alone is not going to cut it.
Great. So on your website, Karen, there's a quote from Eric Qualman of Socialnomics fame, which says, "It's no longer about whether you do social media, it's about how well you do it." What's your take on it?
I think this goes back to the ostrich effect. I think social media has is no longer an option to ignore it.
Yeah.
It's developing so rapidly.
Yeah.
You know, there are countries that are taking up social media networks where they weren't previously. Age groups, you know, now grandparents, certainly in this country, are kind of leaping onto places like Facebook as fast as the younger people are perhaps leaping off of it to go, because I know the grandparents are spying on them. But it's you've got to sort of keep ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And I would never advocate for people to use lots of different networks. It's much better to use one or two or three and do it effectively. Yeah,
exactly.
So I think the challenge really is to understand how to use it properly for your business and how to get the best return coming.
So we may sometimes feel that we want to, you know, put our fingers in our ears because it's way, 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 way too much. This thing called social media, this beast called social media. So if you had to choose for your clients' businesses, which platforms would make it to the top three?
Ah, yes, piece of string question, because it depends who you're trying to reach.
Mm.
So I always try to talk to people about who their target customers are. Are they other businesses? Are they consumers? What do they look like? What sort of profile do they have? Thinking about where they hang out.
Yeah.
Twitter is very effective for both business to business and business to consumer.
Yeah.
It can punch above its weight locally, because of the ability to use hashtags,
yes,
with town names,
okay,
and relevant keywords. LinkedIn is probably better for building your business network and connections. So if you're the sort of business owner that goes networking, then it's a good practice to come back and connect with people that you've met, and to connect with your clients and your suppliers and people that you've worked with in the past who might be willing to give you a recommendation.
Absolutely.
I think Facebook generally, I have seen some people use it well for business to business use, but generally it's easier to use for less challenging, shall we say, for business to consumer type of products, and particularly anything that is visual. So if you make cupcakes, or you are a florist, or you have or you're a photographer, anything where your images showcase your business, that's very easy to do. If you're on a business to business type of exercise, then I think you just need to be very creative in engaging people. Yeah. So if you're a firm of accountants, for example, you can't post photographs of Excel spreadsheets for people to look at. You have to get a lot more creative and think about how you convey your brand through the things that you post. I think Google Plus is one to keep an eye on, because it's owned by Google, which YouTube also is. So those things at the moment, not necessarily forever, but at the moment they help with search engine optimization. So getting onto Google page one, which seems to be a priority for lots of people.
A lot of people keeping,
And then again, if you've got a highly visual business, I think Pinterest and Instagram are worth looking at. It's not quite so easy to interact with people on those networks, but you can certainly get people liking and sharing your content. So there's no one answer summary. It depends what you've got by way of products and service and who you're trying to reach with it.
So it's the, top three might be Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and then Pinterest, Google Plus, and YouTube. All those things help.
Yeah, video is really big
now
at the moment. Increasingly, people that the businesses that post video on the website and on the social media are getting more hits, more clicks, more engagement. So as long as you've produced something and produced it well, I think that's something to think very seriously about. It's certainly the rate of growth on video, and particularly YouTube, but also Vimeo, is something to consider very seriously for your business.
Great. Thanks, Karen. This is Tea with Lily, and joining me on the sofa today is Karen Wisdom, the social media goddess and founder of Wisdom Marketing and Research. Karen also helps businesses to make their marketing and social media activity more effective. So, Karen Wisdom, you obviously have a very strong background in marketing and providing services such as strategy, planning, content development for businesses. How do you deliver these services, and what are some of the outcomes that businesses can expect?
Well, what I try always to do is to really understand my clients' brands, to understand yes. their businesses, what they're trying to achieve, who their clients and future clients or customers are likely to be, and to really adopt their brand for myself as if it is my brand.
Yes.
So I'm just an extension of their business. And through doing that, I'm able to work with them to reach out and to communicate effectively to the people that they're trying to target. In terms of outcomes of the work that I do, I think it's about reaching relevant people in, mm-hmm. in particular markets or locations, building awareness, making sure that people understand the benefits and value of particular brands, being encouraged to talk about it to other people. So as I said, it's not just about following and liking, it's about sharing and commenting and retweeting and so on and so forth. And ultimately, visiting somebody's website or place of business and engaging with that brand.
Mm.
There's a marketing statistic that says on average it takes 7 key touch points or messages from you to your prospective clients for them to want to do business with you.
Yes.
And that might come through a range of different marketing channels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to bear
in mind.
So
you help to bring it all together. So, yeah, there's some synergy from one...
Different channels integrated together, working in harmony with each other. So it would be naive to think that you could post one thing on Facebook and suddenly get a rush of new customers. it's a kind of longer-term slow burner for most people.
Yeah.
So in essence, I'm working with people to try and make sure they get the best return possible for their marketing budgets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another interesting offering of Wisdom Marketing and Research is the employee engagement. This is an area that will increasingly become important when the economy changes for the better. What would your advice be to employers who wish to retain their talent, you know, their key talent?
I think it's been an interesting climate over the last few years because we've been through recession and a lot of people have had to stay
yes.
with their employers, or and some people have been let go of just because of circumstances and finances. I think there are employers out there who have been taking advantage of mm-hmm. their employees and telling them they're very lucky to have a job and that they shouldn't complain and they should accept
that is so bad.
No reward for their loyalty.
Yeah.
And whilst loyalty on its own doesn't get you a bonus, I think people need to have a sense of a role that gives them worthwhile accomplishment.
Yes.
That gives them some sense of achievement, a career path if they want it,
mm-hmm.
That they need to be well managed and motivated. And I think probably in many organisations now the worm is starting to turn, the economy's picked up.
Yeah.
I think there are lots of people who are going to be jumping ship. And so really it's about looking after your people and giving them the kind of development opportunities and in due course recognition and perhaps rewards that they merit. It's interesting, Richard Branson has got some wise words on this subject. He says, if you train people well enough so that they can leave, treat them well enough so that they don't want to.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, in other words, you can open the door of the cage,
mm-hmm.
as an analogy, but if the bird wants to stay in its cage, it won't fly off out into the wild, it will stay. So I think the key to all of this is, as I alluded to, recognition particularly, mixed up with a bit of appropriate reward. And that doesn't have to mean hard cash. It can be as much as a thank you, a gesture of appreciation from someone. Making people feel valued and having the opportunities that they want to develop and to progress.
Within the company.
Within the company. Mm. Or elsewhere. Many companies these days offer opportunities for sabbaticals where people go off and come back. It's all about personal development, really.
Mm.
And that means different things to different people. So it's understanding about what it is that motivates someone and making sure that you're playing to that.
Well, I guess it's a huge responsibility for people in leadership positions? How do you manage this change that is coming, i.e. a few, maybe a couple of years ago, the economy was right on the floor. Now it's picked up and people might be thinking, actually, it's time to brush up, you know, dust off my CV and see if there are better things out there. How do you manage to keep the key people in this? It must be really tough for those leaders who have to manage those situations.
Yes, I think some are better equipped than others. I think there are leaders who have a natural way with people and naturally born leaders. I think there are others who have progressed because they were particularly good at their job or the technical part of their job, and they've been thrust into a senior position without necessarily having the people skills to go with it.
Can you actually train people with people skills? I often wonder that.
You can, okay. But they've got to recognise that it's important and they've got to want to do it.
Yeah.
It is possible.
Okay. Possible to train people on people skills. Great. So, Karen, how can our listeners connect with you if they want further information, such as getting social media support, writing great content for their website, or helping with just any marketing challenges?
Well, I'm always happy to talk to people. You can come through my website, which is www.karenwisdom.co.uk. You could find me on Twitter. My tweet is @KarenWisdom. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, where my page is called Wisdom Research and Marketing. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Pinterest and Google Plus. And you can also find me on Instagram. But yeah, so lots of ways to connect with people. And I do offer a free 30-minute consultation for anybody who thinks they need help with their business.
Oh, that would be, so they can just book and call you and book it, or send you an email to...
Yes, yes.
What's your email account?
It's karen@karenwisdom.co.uk.
Okay. Okay, so you can just email Karen if you want your 30-minute consultation to see how she can help you. Thanks, Karen. Are there any more tips or suggestions for our listeners?
Yes, I think so. I think bearing in mind what we've been talking about, I think it's good to address things like social media in manageable chunks.
Okay.
So you don't have to be on every network. Choose wisely which ones you think are going to work for you. Test your activity. Mm-hmm. It's much better to do a good job on a limited number of networks than it is to do a poor or sporadic job on more. So it can become a bit overwhelming if you take on too much. You don't also, if you're on Twitter, you don't have to tweet 50 times a day. You just need to choose which times of the day are going to be most effective for your audience.
Yeah.
So it's just about learning.
Timing, what works.
So for example, on Facebook, probably 6 to 8 o'clock in the evening would be a peak time. Mm-hmm. Similar thing for Twitter. You get little, depending on what people's lifestyles are, you get peaks at different times of the day. So you might have mums on the school run coming back and jumping onto social media after they've dropped their children off.
Yeah.
Or before they pick them up.
If that's your target audience.
If that's your target audience. If you are targeting people who commute, mm-hmm. Then you might want to think about what time of day they're commuting. Are they sitting on a train? Are they in their car? Ideally, if they're in their car, then they're not on Twitter. But lots of people would sit on a commuter train.
Yes.
Or a bus, checking their social media accounts and looking at things. So there are, you know, and then the difference between weekdays and weekends and evenings.
Yes.
And just thinking about where you're most likely to find people. And you can observe on social media and see what sort of customers are hanging out there. Another tip, I think, would be to get content coming to you. So you can sign up for Google Alerts. So
yes,
this is an email that would come on keywords that you choose to your email account. So if you're looking for information on hairdressing, for example, you can type in keywords and have things coming to you.
Yes.
And it will give you a daily or a weekly email. If you've got a business, say you've got an accountancy business, for example, you might choose to sign up for a weekly email on new initiatives that are coming from the government, or things to do with the end of the tax year, or thinking about what your clients need to be doing at different points of the calendar. So So, you know, there's a lot that you can do, and, and then that takes the time element out of having to go and research these things constantly and to look for things to post and tweet about.
Yes, I mean, I have Google Alerts as well, and I find it quite useful, because there are times that I haven't, stuff that I haven't searched for, that's just come into my inbox and it's just right. So Google Alerts, very relevant. So Karen, you've shared an awful lot with us, and hopefully you'll come back and join us on the sofa again, because things will be moving so quickly. Social media, it moves so fast. You almost have to run in order to, you know, enjoy what's going on out there, and to make sure that your business benefits from your, is it buck for your buck?
Bang for your buck.
Bang for your, oh, I can't get it right. Karen, thank you very much for joining me, and I hope you'll come and visit us again and share some more wisdom on social media stuff. Thank you. Tune in again for the next episode of Tea with Lily. My guest will be Amanda Watts, whose enthusiasm for the fitness and wellness industry is rather infectious. She's the founder of Clients in Abundance, and her practice is focused on health and wellness professionals, and she works with them to grow their businesses. I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yabar, and until next time, keep smiling and always, always walk good. Carry on wisdom.